you can disagree with someone that you love. Like you can disagree and respect someone. And I think that that is something that gets lost in today's society, where everyone's got a huge opinion and everyone thinks that their opinion is the right opinion. Welcome to today's podcast episode. It's a solo one and it's a personal reflection episode. I'm chatting with you about some of the things I feel I've had to learn and get my head around during the last 2 years of parenting and also being in a relationship with a person that is not the biological parent of the boys. If this is your first ever time listening to the podcast, thank you so much for pressing play. And for that added context, I will just say my partner doesn't have his own children. We've been together for, I think, 2.5-ish years now. And we did move pretty quickly. And I actually want to record an episode talking a bit more about pace and how I kind of processed through all of that stuff. But I think that's another episode for another day. Today's episode is all about me sharing with you just, I guess, the observations and certain challenges that have popped up. I don't feel like there are enough conversations about that dynamic of being in love and having a relationship with someone who doesn't have their own kids or is not the biological parent of your children. I think it can be a difficult conversation to have because there are so many different dynamics, and it's one of those things where it's not like, oh, these are the 10 rules and this is exactly how you have to do it, because there are so many different circumstances and different nuances that need to be taken into consideration. So I am not sitting here today saying, hey, these are the 5 things that are going to make your journey much smoother. I'm just saying these are 5 things I want to share with you, and maybe you'll recognize your own situation or a friend's situation in amongst this. And I'll also say up top that whilst I am speaking about being in a relationship with someone that doesn't have kids and navigating the blend and the daily dynamics, this is not going to be just strictly relevant for someone in that situation. I think if you are in a relationship with the biological parent of your children, a lot of this stuff will actually be super, super relative, because so often we end up being the default parent. And then because of being the default parent, there are these little things that pop up along the way that even though you are both biologically responsible for your child or children, you can still relate to that, you know, potential resentment or the challenges that might pop up. Just quickly, a word from today's sponsors. Unless, of course, you're one of our Venti members, in that case, there are no ads and your episode is about to keep playing.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
So let's get straight into it, and in no particular order. These are just some of my thoughts. But the first thing that I wanted to discuss that I have definitely learned over the last, you know, period of time in being with Brendan is how important it is to welcome the other person's influence where suitable. I think, again, that this can be really relatable even if you are with the bio parent, because we do often get sort of in that loop of thinking like, I do most of it, I know best, I'm going to make the decisions. And sometimes that's just literally like a function of the society that we live in. And it's like, I am doing it all. I do know what needs to be done. So I'm just going to make the call and move on. And then you can kind of find yourself in this pattern where you're not intentionally disregarding the other person's opinion, but it's like, you know what, I've got so many things to do, so I'm just going to make the call and move on. Something that I've really like lent into on purpose has been allowing doesn't even sound right, but I guess welcoming Brendan's influence on the boys where suitable and just being in the picture. He influences the kids. Anyone around the boys influences the kids, whether it's their friends, their teachers, or the partner or partners of the biological parent, aunties, uncles, you know, it's all part of shaping their character. And that's why it's, you know, so important as parents that we are really mindful of the people that are around our kids and who we let into their lives and who we sometimes have to remove from their lives. But the thing that I wanted to touch on here is that because Brendan came into the picture when the boys were 8, we were kind of like a well-oiled machine in a lot of ways. You know, we're very much a unit of 3. And then when he's come into the picture, I'm still the parent calling all of the shots when the boys are with us. But over time, really making sure that it's an ever-evolving conversation. It's not like, okay, I make all of these decisions and you never get a chance to talk about them or share your opinion. I definitely wouldn't want that to be something that he experiences or that I experience as well. But there have been a certain like handful of situations lately that I can recall where I've kind of gone like, yeah, I've definitely created more space for myself to hear what he is saying and to allow him to make certain calls where suitable. So an example of this is around Christmas time, we were having a swim over at our beach, the beach across the road from where we live. And we were all having a great time. We actually had brought over these big inflatable tubes that we were playing on in the waves. And then we looked up and a lifeguard was calling us out of the water. And my initial thought process was that they wanted us to move back on the inside of the flags a little closer, because you know how it is, you know, you start off in the flags and then you kind of drift to the outside. And then before you know it, you've gone out further than you intentionally realized. And I'm so grateful that we do have a patrolled beach close by. And so I was like, oh, okay, you know, they're just telling us to come in and then they'll tell us to move over again. And so I kind of like ran over and Brendan was not far behind me. And then the boys were like further behind us and it was a windy day, so they couldn't hear the communication that was happening clearly. But the lifeguard said, there is a really big great white shark. We're closing the beach. You guys have to come in. Or maybe he didn't say great white, but he said, there's a huge shark out there close to shore. You need to stay like out of the water. And now my knee-jerk like initial response to that situation is to tell the boys. It's to say, oh, we have to hop out of the water because there is a shark. Because I guess I kind of approach things with, for the most part, trying to give them the accurate information. And I think that sharks are in the water. Like that's part of, you know, living in a coastal town is understanding that we are visiting the ocean, we're going into their domain. And I never want them to be afraid of sharks, but they also need to be very mindful. And so my initial process would be just turn around, tell the kids, we're staying out of the water now because the beach is closed because of sharks. But Brendan made the decision. He turned around, he said to the boys, oh, we've got to stay in because there's a rip. And so we're just going to pack up now. We're going to cruise. And I kind of like in that moment was like, oh, he's taken the lead on this. That's what he's telling them. I'm not going to interject in this situation. And there would be times, there are times where he might tell them something and I feel really strongly about something else. So I will interject and it can become habitual to do so. And so just over the last couple of years of learning more about how to balance this dynamic and also communication and wanting everyone to feel important, I was like, cool, that's not a big deal. I'm actually okay with that. And maybe that's the right thing. And so Brendan's like, I'm just going to say, like, I think we just tell them it's a rip because we will never get them back in the ocean. Because there have been periods of time where one or both of them will have a fear of sharks, or just for whatever reason, they go through something where they're like, I just don't want to swim, and they have a fear. And then some local surfers ran towards us and they started to say, have you heard about the thing? Like, have you heard? And I can't remember their exact language, but it was enough that the boy said, what's out there? And then Brendan said, oh, I'll go and find out. And he went over and had a chat to the lifeguards and came back and said, it's a really big turtle. There's a huge turtle out there. And at first they weren't sure what it is, but we're going to go home. And again, I'm like, that's not entirely true, but I'm going to roll with it. And so that was one of the moments where I actually was really glad that he interjected and said that, because upon thinking about it later, I was like, he's right. The boys would have absolutely spiraled and not gotten back in the water over the holidays, even though I have conversations with them about sharks and beach safety and all of that stuff. In that moment, I think that was actually the right call, because I know that they wouldn't have gotten back in the water over the next sort of coming days and weeks, and that might have changed their school holiday experience over the Christmas and New Year period. And so that's just an example. And like, you know, we can get into a debate over, you know, honesty and integrity with kids. And I definitely think that kids need age appropriate honesty. And I also think there are times as a parent where you do lie. You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it and say, oh, like it's bending the truth or whatever it is. There are times as a parent that you do make a decision for the wellness of your child, whether that's their mental and emotional wellness or their safety. Now, I'm not big on telling kids lies like, oh, the park is closed or the ice cream machine only plays music when they're out of ice cream, you know, because I think like you've got to pick your mistruths, even though that is softening it, that language. But that was just an example that came to mind when I'm talking about this topic of like welcoming the other person's perspective and not always going, oh, well, I know absolutely 110% best for these kids, because he has spent 2 years getting to know them. He knows the spiraling thoughts at bedtimes. He knows the overthinking. He knows the fear. And I'm glad that he was able to do that. So I think that like when it comes to finding the balance of doing life with someone that isn't the biological parent, particularly if you live together, often that person, like in our situation, Brendan carries a large amount of the parental duties and parental responsibilities. And so I don't want to then be dismissive of other elements. You know, there are things that he might, there's things that he's doing day in, day out that do fall under the category of parental responsibilities and parental duties. And so I just don't want to then be dismissive of other elements of parenting, because if he can see something coming up and it's in my blind spot, I want him to feel welcome and safe and appreciated in bringing these things to my attention. And again, I guess it's really important for me to stress here, every dynamic is so different. Brendan is not someone who has ever told me what to do or how to do it. He's incredibly respectful of the way that I parent the kids, almost to the point where it was uncomfortable for me at the start, not with parenting, but uncomfortable, unfamiliar is probably more accurate, at the start of our relationship, because I hadn't been with a male that wasn't persuasive or directive in so many areas. And it was just strange to me to be with a partner who's like, no, you make your choices about your life and I'll support you, but I'm not going to have a big opinion on them. And so that's been really nice, I think, for us as we've progressed along through this blending family journey, is like, oh, I do love and respect you, and I do want you to speak up, and I do want you to interject, and I do want you to make decisions where appropriate. I think as the biological parent, though, you have to have a very strong internal compass of what is right for your children, so that you're not then being led or coercively controlled or persuaded to act in a way that you wouldn't normally. And it's not an easy thing to do, even though it should be. Like, it should be incredibly easy to have that internal North Star, but you have your own personal conflict that can come up when you are trying to, I don't want to say please or appease, but trying to function in a relationship and then also function as a parent when there is a separateness, like there is a divide between all of that. So yeah, point number two, accepting feedback lovingly. And so in our particular dynamic, communication and speaking up hasn't always been easy for Brendan. He's definitely someone who would rather not rock the boat, and he's much more of a bottler. And at first I didn't realize this, but he is definitely someone who, like, over the last year has changed enormously with his communication style, because it's something that we have both worked on and worked at. But of course, you know, when it comes to any sort of personal growth and development, that comes from the person and the individual. But as a partner, I think there are ways that we can help to make it easier when someone is trying to communicate with you, if it's not necessarily super natural to them. Because we have to remember, we all function in relationships based upon what was role modeled for us and our own lived experiences and our own fears and beliefs about our self-worth. And so it's not as though when you meet someone, you have the exact same expectation of communication or the same expectation of how it feels to communicate. And so an example that I thought I would share with you is, not too long ago, one of the boys asked Brendan if he could show, like, my son wanted to show Brendan a preview for a movie. And we don't do screens most weeknights. And they'd had a little bit of screen time, I think, after school. And Brendan said, "You can show me tomorrow, buddy, because you've had your screens." Like, I think he might have been doing an invoice or something like that, or we were in the middle of a conversation. And again, even just that alone, like, at first, Brendan found it very, very hard to say no to the kids. You know, he would say yes to everything. And I kept saying to him, for your own sake and for theirs as well, you are going to have to say no to them sometimes. And I know it's hard, and I know you want to be their big best friend, but it's not actually helpful to either of you, for any of us, because there's more than two of them. As in, there's not just helpful, oh my gosh, I'm getting tongue-tied, not just helpful for him and the child asking him, but for the whole family unit. Like, we all have to have boundaries, and the boys have to know that you can't do everything every time that they want. And so that's a big thing on its own. But when Brendan said no to him, I saw his little face fall, and I'm a sucker. And I said to him, "You can show me though if you want," right? And it was probably coming from a place I can't even remember. Like, maybe that day I was feeling extra mum guilt over something. I don't know. You know, like, we all have our vulnerable moments, and it's not something I would normally do. Like, you know, 80% of the time I would just go, "Cool, Brendan said that, I'm not going to undermine him." And I think that even if you're with someone that is the bio parent of your kids, you can relate to this dynamic, right? Where it's like one parent says one thing and then the other says the other or does the other thing. And I said to him, "You can show me though if you want," because I saw his little face drop and I was like, "Oh, it's 2 minutes, it's a preview, whatever." And so Brendan didn't say anything until the next day, and he said, "Hey, I just wanted to let you know, like, that interaction that happened." And as soon as he said last night with the preview, I was like, "I'm so sorry." I said, "You are so right. I shouldn't have done that. And I should have been the one to bring that up to you, you know, once the boys went to bed," because I did, like, I knew I could feel that that wasn't a cool thing to do, because even though, Brendan's only known the boys for 2 years and I am their mum, I still want to present a united front to the kids end, this is where it's tricky, right? Because you want to present a united front to the, to like, I want to present a united front to the boys. And I also have to be in a united team with the boys too. And so it can be a tricky line to straddle there for sure. And so as soon as he brought it up and I like straight away was like, you are so right. I should have come and said to you, hey, I didn't handle that well. And I just shouldn't have done that. You know, I had a moment of, it was something that was inside of me. It wasn't about you doing the wrong thing or me feeling like you did the wrong thing, Brendan. It was about me. Like the look on his face hit a nerve for me. And so just having an honest conversation where it's not conflict at all. Like it wasn't like neither of us were raising our voices or angry or irritated or mad with the other person. It was just an acknowledgement of that exchange in a very grown up way and both taking part, like both going, this is how I felt. Oh, I can see how you would feel that way. And then being able to move on. So accepting feedback and like, I will say to Brendan now when he says things, particularly because I know for him it's hard. It would be different if he was someone who's like got an opinion on everything and very vocal and it's like, okay, enough, like enough with the opinions. But I know that when he brings something up, I make a point of saying like, thank you for telling me that and not being reactive, you know, actually sitting with it and hearing it and creating that safe space to have a conversation. And even if it's something that it's like, well, I disagree, you can disagree with someone that you love. Like you can disagree and respect someone. And I think that that is something that gets lost in today's society where everyone's got a huge opinion and everyone thinks that their opinion is the right opinion. And I've spoken about this before in regards to things like the extreme sports that Brendan gets involved in. They're not things that I want to do. Like, you know, it's not an extreme sport that I want to go into, but you can love someone and have areas that you disagree about certain topics in and still love and respect someone. So, next up, I think that it's so important to talk about and expect discrepancies in what you can do as a biological parent and what you can't do. And also, I guess what I'm trying to say here is like talking about how when you are someone that doesn't have kids, you have a freedom that the other person doesn't. And there are going to be times when there is a discrepancy. And I think for the most part with Brendan and I, we're very much on the same page with a lot of stuff. And Brendan is someone who is all in. But there are things that he can do that I can't because I have two kids to take care of. And for the most part, he's in it with me. But there are times, and this is something that we need to expect and also respect, you know, expectations and respect the fact that there are times when he might be able to go off and do something and I can't. And it's the respect and the expectation from both of us and also the acceptance piece as well. So an example of this could be recently, Brendan really wanted to go over to Bali to finish getting some tattoo work on his legs because he had that done initially over in Bali. And right now the boys aren't going to their dad's for overnights. And so that means we have them full time. And so Brendan, you know, initially when he was looking at this time to go over to Bali, originally that would normally be a time when the kids would not be in our care and they would be with their dad. But in the last couple of months, things have changed and that's just not the dynamic right now. And so, you know, Brendan was saying to me, I still really want to go. I still want to book tickets. I want to go with you. I know it's a short trip. What can we do? Can we explore options? Now, my mum spent some time looking after the boys for four nights when Brendan and I went earlier in the year to Bali. And so straight away, I'm like, it's not an option to ask my mum because she's already done it recently and she has to work and financially I can't afford to pay her to have the boys, which is the only way that I would let her have the boys for that time period, because if she's taking time off work, I wouldn't feel good about her not being paid. And I'm like, I just literally cannot, like, I can't afford it. And that she's the only person we have. We don't have other options when it comes to caring for the kids, and it sucks. Like, to put it in like the most of immature ways, but it does. It sucks and it is hard. I definitely feel the lack of the village big time. And so we kind of thought like, oh, this, that, the other, you know, had a conversation about how could it potentially work. And I said to him, if, like, I mean, I don't even know how it would work, but if I found a way of making it work, it would be really stressful for me and it's not worth it. You know, I love you. I, of course, want to spend time with you. I hate that I can't just pack up and go with you on a whim. And the reality is that whilst I don't like that and it would be cool to make it happen, if I now, you know, go and somehow create some sort of plan where it can work, it's going to be really stressful for me and I don't want to do that. So I'm telling you now, I'm not going to do that. And I hate having to say that, but I also, like, that's just the reality of it. And his reality is that he can still go. And so he still went to Bali. And that triggered and activated all sorts of things for me. Like, and I think I will actually do a whole other episode about this, because I think it can be tricky when you are triggered to sort of untangle things and go, oh, am I triggered because of this, or is it from a past experience, and how to actually get clarity on that. But for me, it did make me have feelings of, like, I wouldn't, definitely not resentment, almost like just a pang of, like, maybe envy or jealousy in a way, of being like, oh, you can do that and I can't, you know, and my reality is so different from that at times. And that complicated feeling, that contradiction that exists within all of us, you know, we all have contradictory emotions and thoughts and feelings and behaviors, of being like, I of course want you to go and do what you want to do. It is your life. You work hard. You have every right. And, oh, like, I don't love that. You know, it's all of the things at once. And for some people listening, you'll be like, I don't understand that at all. And that might be because you don't have any sort of abandonment issue or anything like that that gets activated. But there are these things that pop up. And I think that something I've learned is, like, you have to expect and accept and respect the discrepancies that arise when you are in a different dynamic. He is the best stepdad, and he also doesn't have biological kids, so he can do those things. You know, he can go off to bull riding school for the weekend, and I can make the decision not to go. Even though, of course, he'd love us to go, I make the decision that is right for the kids. You know, I don't want to put them in the car and do an 8-hour round trip. And that's my reality. And sometimes just accepting your own reality can still be fraught with those conflicting emotions and feelings and fluctuations. So talk about what to expect. Talk about the different realities and how you can both feel respected and both have acceptance for what the other person is experiencing as well. And sometimes it is just about acceptance. It's not about fixing it. Because I certainly don't want Brendan to go, oh, well, I'll never go and do anything that I want to do again because you have twin boys and you don't have that flexibility. Like, I wouldn't want that. And so it's like having the conversation and saying, yeah, I might feel a certain way. And I just have to remember that thoughts and feelings are just, you know, like I say to the kids at such a basic level, they are just clouds in the sky and I've just got to let them pass on by. But talking about it is really important so that that resentment doesn't build. My next point, of course, is communication, which is so crucial to everything that I'm talking about today. But having purposeful regular check-ins and asking the question, not just assuming things, because you might be someone who, like, I'm not even going to talk in broad terms. I'm someone that if I have something on my mind, I have zero poker face. Like, it is fucking written all over my face that I have an issue that I want to talk about. I find it very hard to just put it away and move on. Like, I'm like a deal with it here and now person. And Brendan is definitely more of a, as I said, a bottler. It's changed a lot, but when we first got together, definitely a bottler. And I didn't know, you know, like I didn't know. And I don't necessarily know if he really knew that either. But having the purposeful regular check-in of going, hey, how do you feel like this is going? Because things change the longer people are involved, I'm sure. I can only speak from my experience, but you know, how are you feeling 3 months in, 6 months in is different to how are you feeling 18 months, 24 months in, because they've spent more time with the kids, maybe you're living together. So it's having that regular conversation and creating space to say, hey, how are you feeling? This is how I'm feeling. So that things don't get to a 10 out of 10, you know, you can talk about them when they're at that 2 or 3 level out of 10. And just getting into the habit of asking those questions.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
And then the last thing that I wanted to talk about is how often I've had messages in the past asking me how my ex-husband feels about the boys having such an involved step parent. And I will never speak on anyone else's behalf, even though sometimes I probably do speak on Brendan's behalf a little bit when I'm relaying stories here on the podcast. But my belief surrounding the whole step parent, biological parent thing, and I will make it very clear, I have not been in the situation where the boys go to the other parent's house and they are living with a stepmother figure. Like, they've had women like who have been involved in their lives, but not really in the way that they're living with them, because as I've said, for the majority of the time the kids are with us, so it is a different dynamic. So I can't be like, oh yes, I know exactly what it's like to have another woman parent the boys. I don't know exactly what that's like, but I do know what it's like for them to spend time in another family unit and with other women. Like, yeah, so I'll just be very clear that I haven't had that experience, where other people who are listening right now might have a completely different story to tell on it. And this is just how I feel right now. But I've had that question asked, and I've had people message me and say, hey, like, you don't have to answer if you don't want to, which I always find like hard, because if you don't want to answer, it is tricky. But, you know, I will have people say, hey, if you don't want to answer, it's okay. But I'm wondering, have you experienced any jealousy if your kids are spending time with another woman? And the honest answer for me is no. And I've said this so many times on the podcast, I don't even know where, when, why, or how, but growing up, mum would say to me, if there are step parents involved, it's just more people to love the kids. You know, how lucky? How lucky if there are more people that love a child? So I've never had this weird internal idea about what step parents are, despite, of course, growing up with all of the evil step parent literature and, you know, fairy tales that we all have around us. But for me personally, I've never struggled with that feeling, and I've thought about it a lot. And I think that when people message me and say, oh, how does their biological parent feel about them being so close with Brendan? Or I would hate that. You know, I've had messages like that as well. And I've given it some thought. And I think that if you are very, very triggered by your child spending time with your ex-partner's new partner, significant other, maybe what that speaks to is an internal feeling that there is a space to be filled. And what I mean by that is, when I really think about it, there is no part of me that feels stressed about the thought of another woman stepping into a motherly role, because I don't feel like there is a gap for someone to take my space. Whereas I think if I felt like deep down on the inside, I was letting the kids down and I wasn't, you know, being the mum that I want to be, or I wasn't there for them. And then someone else stepped in and I witnessed, or I was aware of that connection that they had, then I might feel threatened and triggered and activated, and all sorts of weird emotions might come up. But even if they were doing 50-50 custody and their dad had a partner who was super involved, hand on my heart, swear on my life, I don't think I would have any issues at all with that, as long as that person cares about the boys. You know, like, I think that would be great. You know, the more people in their lives that love and care for them, the better. I don't have any issues with that at all. So I have to think, oh, if someone's messaging me and saying, oh, I would hate that my child was so close with a step parent, I think that comes from an insecurity of thinking, oh, there's a gap to be filled. And so if you are a biological parent and you're feeling a certain kind of way about the partner of the other biological parent, maybe just pause for a second and really think about what it is that's coming up for you and why that is bothering you so much. So those are just some thoughts and feelings and conversations and real life examples of stuff that came to mind on this topic. I think blending a family can be incredibly tricky. I do often say that I think we are very lucky in a sense because of the ease of the dynamic, in terms of Brendan has always wanted to be a fatherly figure. He has always wanted to have his own kids. He didn't have any fear about being part of a family unit, and he doesn't have his own biological kids. So we are not dealing with the extra added nuances of then navigating it on his side and then blending families in terms of getting the kids along and all of those sorts of things. I can say that the boys have been in the situation where they've like had to get to know kids from another family in the past it's hard to like talk about things and then not be super transparent, I guess, but like their dad has had a partner that has had kids, so then the boys will spend time in that family unit, and like the boys have come home at times, it's not the case now, but years ago, and said they've shared things that they've struggled with about that dynamic. And I've had to say to them, just because someone talks to you like they're your mum, that doesn't mean they're trying to be your mum. You know, so-and-so is a mum. So if she's speaking to you in a way that makes you feel uncomfortable because she's being overly familiar or overly directive, I just want you to remember that that's just because she's a mum. She's not trying to be your mum or take over any parenting. And so it can be really tricky to have these conversations with kids because there are a lot of considerations to take on board. You know, there have been conversations that my boys will have with me where they'll say, oh, we think so-and-so likes so-and-so more because they spend more time with them. And it becomes very, very layered. And a lot of communication and a lot of mutual respect from everyone involved is so important. So those, as I said, are just some thoughts on the topic. If you enjoy this style of episode, please do let me know. As I've said for a little while now, I will endeavor to have more solo episodes where I'm sharing real life examples of things, and I do truly appreciate you being here. If you are not yet a subscriber of the podcast, jump on over, have a look at our subs episodes. If any of those episodes are interesting to you, jump on over, try it out. All of the details are in the show notes. And thank you so much to everyone who is already a current subscriber and supporting the podcast. I truly appreciate it, and I look forward to speaking with you soon. Before you run off, I just wanted to mention that over on Sunroom, you're going to find exclusive content that will be seen nowhere but Sunroom. And the reason for this is Sunroom is a safe platform. Things can't be screenshotted, they can't be shared or taken out of context, really. Sunroom is the inner circle, and I am over there sharing workouts, reflections, honest, truly raw thoughts and feelings instant reactions to certain things that are going on in my life, and so much more. Over there, you can also organize your own custom experience. If you've ever wanted to book a mentoring session with yours truly to perhaps take your idea for your own podcast and start creating. Maybe you have a podcast already, but you really want to learn some of the tricks of the trade when it comes to monetizing, streamlining, pitching to guests, or just creating a stronger podcast in general. I'm the first person to say I am not a business strategist, but I certainly am someone who loves the podcasting space. And with over 400 episodes under my belt, I will happily help you to learn from the mistakes I've made in the past and to cut out some of those tricky lessons and to just benefit from that experience. I love talking about podcasting and personal branding. So if you want to book a session with me, you can do that through Sunroom as well. You can also receive personalized voice notes and advice and so much more over there. Link is in the show notes, so come on over, join the inner circle, and the circle is small, so the messages are getting answered quickly, and I am available to you over through the Sunroom app. Link is in the bio. Today's podcast episode was recorded on the land of the Bundjalung Nation. In the spirit of reconciliation, we acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respect to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.